Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. As we always do, we're talking today with Dr. David Maines, the Executive Director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, most effective pastors are skilled in the area of public speaking. Are there any successful ministers you know who are just plain awful preachers?
Well, if you're asking me successful pastors, probably not just plain awful. You're talking extremes there. So it's a decided advantage if you're a good communicator. And I know some people who I would say are mediocre communicators, but I wouldn't say they're just plain awful. They're mediocre, and yet they're good organizers. And they're wonderful in terms of pastoral care. So they have built really, successful is kind of a hard word, but they've built solid ministries. And they're long ministries, and people love them dearly. So I think the ability to speak clearly and forcefully is a very decided plus for a minister. I guess you could get by without it, but we're not really talking about preaching as much as we're talking about listening this time, right?
Okay, so when do pastors have the chance to actually listen to others?
Well, they can't do it during the morning sermon time, that's for sure. But the truth is, pastors have opportunity to listen to people just like anybody else does. And I think what is a problem is that the great strength of pastors, which is usually speaking, or being the person in charge and therefore having a certain amount of authority so they feel they need to speak, is such that sometimes they don't know how to stop speaking. And they tend to pontificate even in social settings and all different normal interactions. They even do it in their home. You know, I've heard kids of ministers say, you know, I don't want another sermon, Dad. You know, I just want you to be a normal human being now. I've many times, as I've worked with pastors, as they've come and said, consult with a church, almost inevitably those consultations are going to involve personal times with the pastors as well. I've said to them, you're very good at speaking, but you're not very good at not speaking. And they'll say, well, tell me what you mean. And I say, I notice you dominate almost every conversation. When anything is done in the church, you always have to have your word that goes in. You don't really give over to other people the opportunity to say things and lead things. You're always the one who is, you know, talking. And it's hard for ministers to get out of that habit. It's kind of a part of the role, they think. And so I've said to pastors, I'd just like for you, every time you say something, to pray, God, do I need to say this or do I need to listen more to what other people are saying? And I think listening is critical a skill in terms of being an effective pastor as speaking is.
Is being a good listener a skill that most ministers just naturally have, or do they have to work at it?
I think it's one of those areas where you have to work at it. I think it is a skill that you become good at. And a lot of times listening requires a certain speaking skill in my mind, which is learning to ask good questions. Not listening to somebody so I can tell when they take a breath and I can throw my words in and say what I want to say, but listening and purposely not talking as much, but asking questions and trying to find out where the other person is coming from. It is a skill that you really have to work at. And I think preaching makes it harder to work at because you're used to people listening to you and you're used to people kind of almost saying, well, I want to know what the pastor thinks.
Do you suppose Jesus was a good listener?
Well, Jesus is doing a lot of listening now to our prayers. He doesn't talk as much as he listens. If you look at Scripture, I would say that Jesus was good at asking questions. So that implies that he was a good listener. He didn't just jump into conversations. He would ask good questions and then get where the person was coming from. So yes, I would say from that just alone, I would say probably Jesus was a good listener.
In social settings, how can a minister tell if he or she is talking too much?
Talk to your spouse. I know many times Karen would say to me, do you realize that you talk more than all the rest of the people put together? And I would say, no, that's not true. And so my wife would say, go and talk to Ralph and see what Ralph says. So I'd go and talk to Ralph. My wife said to me that last night in the social setting, I talk more than all the rest of the people put together. And I said, no, that's not true. What do you think? And then Ralph gets very quiet, you know. Come on, Ralph, I want to know. Well, I think Karen probably has a point. He says, you know, so I think it is an occupational hazard that you have to get over, and that I don't anymore. Maybe I would if I went back in the pulpit every Sunday. Maybe the allure of the pulpit would put me into talking all the time. But numerous times, it's very hard for me to do this too. I've said to pastors, now I've observed you in the business meeting, and you know what? You talk too much. Because you talked, Pete didn't talk. Or because you talked, Alice didn't talk, or whoever, you know. And if you would just learn to remain quiet some of the time and let other people talk, they will talk, but you dominate. And you have to stop doing that. And it's a battle. I think, Dean, I've known you for a long time, and I think that you purposely attempt not to talk as much as you probably could. You want to see what other people are thinking. You want to say, I notice when I talk and say what I have to say, it tends to stop everybody in their tracks, and they don't want to confront me. So I basically back off and try to get other people to talk more. That's a part of who you are, is your makeup. And I think it's a good quality about you.
In my own case, it's learned painfully from being someone who always had all the answers. And I say that not as an arrogant thing, but God has been very gracious in the gifts that he's given me. And in a lot of cases, I really do have all the answers. And
I think that's wonderful that you can say that. Because,
but I also know that that's a huge turnoff to people. Mm-hmm. And so over time, I try to temper that, although I would say that if you quizzed a lot of people, they would probably be put off by dealing with me. It's something that I grieve over, but it's something that I also go before the Lord with a lot, because I don't want to intimidate people. I don't want to dominate conversations. So you're right. It is a discipline that I've tried to impose upon myself.
Yeah, no, I know you're consciously doing that. And I would have to say in my life, because I learned from others who were honest with me, for which I'm grateful, including my wife, that I have a tendency to not only talk a lot, but think I know more than other people. And as a result, it's something that has to be tempered in me. And I also have found that I have learned to be a good questioner. I ask questions an awful lot. And I find that people, sometimes they don't want to talk that much. But I also find that if I give opportunity, In fact, I said to a minister, it was probably within the last 2 weeks, I said to him, you know what, if you don't talk as much, when you do talk, it will carry more weight, because you're deciding when you want to say something, and you're deciding what hill you want to run up. And you know, if you run up that hill, you may capture the hill, but you may end up with a lot of gunshot wounds too, and it's not worth it for that hill. You have to decide, you know, how much am I going to talk and how much I'm not going to talk? It's a lesson I think a lot of ministers have not learned. And a lot of ministers, as a result, don't know their congregation, because they haven't allowed their congregation opportunity to talk, because they tend to dominate all conversations related to the church.
Yeah, I have a colleague in my professional field of fire protection who is very much like you described. He is an extremely intelligent, knowledgeable individual. In a meeting situation, he almost never, ever says anything. But when he talks, everybody listens to what he has to say. He's earned the right, because when he does speak, he has a great deal of information to share, some insight that nobody else has captured. I would say that knowing him was a big warning sign to me, or encouragement to me, to change patterns that I had in my own life. And I wanted to become more like him, because I saw the way people treated with respect what he had to say when he spoke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are good illustrations. It is one of the, in his case, it was an occupational hazard. His great knowledge, because of being an expert in the field, put him in a position, if he wasn't careful, he would find that people resented, because he spoke to everything. But no, he chose the times when he spoke. And that's interesting. I've many times been with people in the latter part of my life where they say, you know, I came and I wanted to know more about you, and all we've done is to talk about me. And I say, but it's been interesting and I've enjoyed it, you know. But that to me is a compliment, because it doesn't say that, in my mind, the axis of the world runs through my backyard, you know. Other people are important as well. And I truly believe this is a major problem with a lot of ministers, especially as it relates to men. You know, because men don't talk as freely as women will talk sometimes. So if you're around men and you can draw them out, that's a huge advantage. In fact, you can get by with a with a clunker sermon every so often if those people are on your side and they feel you really care about them and their opinion.
Let me see if I can put into a sentence what we've been talking about. Let me give it a try by saying, along with the craft of effective speaking, ministers also need to develop the skill of careful listening.
Now, if I said something was wrong with that sentence, I would go against everything that's happened. So I have to say, Dean, I think you did a very good job. So now that I'm over the emotion of it, say it again so I can listen, okay?
Along with the craft of effective speaking, ministers also need to develop the skill of careful listening.
Okay, I like that very much. The only thing that we haven't done is I haven't put the strong emotion I feel about this and the huge problem this is in ministry situations all around the country. I just think there are far too many ministers who don't know how to listen. They talk continually, and if they would just remain quiet and get other people to talk, they would be much better off. They would be appreciated more. They would be understood more. People wouldn't gain a wrong feeling about who they are. A know-it-all, if you please. You know, you have to understand that in ministry areas, the pastor is going to know way more about the Bible. So you have to somehow draw other people out. What are they thinking? And it's a skill that will really serve you in good stead. So yeah, I not only agree with what you said, but I agree with it strongly, and I want to somehow emphasize it with the emotion that I'm feeling right now.
Indeed. We started out talking about successful ministers, and what we're really ending up talking about is effective ministers.
Yeah, I think that's a good
change. Ministers need to be good listeners. Mm-hmm. They need to listen every bit as much, if not more, than they talk, particularly in social settings where they have the opportunity of hearing what the people in their congregation have to say.
Yes, well said.
We're so grateful you joined us for our podcast today. Without you listening, our doing the podcast would really be a kind of a silly exercise. Yes. So we're very glad you're there. Of course, you found our sermoncoach.com podcast on our website, sermoncoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We invite you to browse through the rest of our website. We have resources there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. And we invite you to join us when we meet for the next sermoncoach.com podcast.